Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Well, it's the fourth weekend of the month, and if you listen to us on a regular basis, you know that we typically play a sermon preached by my father. I have approximately 30 sermons of my dad's, and it's always a joy for me to be able to play one of his sermons, or at least an edited version of one of his sermons. And I might add, if you would like a copy of a sermon that you hear on the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, write to us or email me, lanelohman@me.com, and I will be glad to send it out to you on CD format. All you need to do is tell us the date you heard the sermon or the sermon message or title itself. Today we're playing the sermon Without Christ. It's a powerful evangelistic style message, and I know it will be a blessing. Before the sermon, we're going to hear a song by the late Stephen Hill, who went home to be with the Lord, from our estimation, way too soon. What a beautiful song and a beautiful voice Stephen had. He was a friend, and I miss him. Don't forget to pray for me, as I'll be involved in revival meetings starting in the month of February. I'll be traveling to the Methodist Protestant Church in Monticello, Mississippi. That's February 2 to 5. And then I'll be traveling to Kansas City, February 10, 11, and 12, to the M25 Evangelism Conference in Kansas City, Missouri, for the Church of the Nazarene. And then February 16 through 19, I'll be at Ebenezer Church of the Nazarene in Crowley, Louisiana. So I do covet your prayers as I travel. I also ask you to pray for this ministry and pray that the Lord will continue to supply the need for the radio time. We're on several stations in Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky, North Carolina, and here in Indiana. And the Lord has blessed and supplied the need through people like you. So I hope that you'll take just a few minutes to pray over this radio program, as well as consider being a support of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. You can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. That's the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org. You can give through the Venmo or PayPal tab. Father, I pray your blessing upon the listening audience today. May the message challenge our hearts. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I would look upon the past.
the feet of Jesus. When I love to weep and pray, and while I from His fullness gather strength and comfort, come what may. So bless me, O my Savior.
Chapter beginning with verse 8, and I'm going to read through verses 16. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I'm going to stop there. That's not really the end of the sentence, but I'm going to stop there. And in the 12th verse of this passage, this statement, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There are two words in that verse that I use as a basis for the message tonight, two of what I believe are the saddest words that are found in the religious vocabulary. And those two words are simply these: without Christ. Without Christ, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. for you and me to live in this wonderful day of privilege, an opportunity in a land where all around about us we are reminded of the possibilities that are ours as citizens of the greatest nation on the face of this earth. From every source of the media, we have the privilege of being reminded time and time again of the opportunities that are ours, the privileges that have been placed before us, the songs of redeeming grace, the message of salvation to a lost world. The church bells still ring, churches on almost every corner, and in the distance of every individual that's an inhabitant of this nation, to hear a faithful pastor proclaim the gospel of saving and redeeming grace, to hear the saints of God pray under a burden to the point that they're concerned about the destiny of one soul, to have a medium in the inner recesses of your heart that is called the soul, that God has made you responsible for and can determine its own destiny by the choice that you make, by the decision that you come to, the privilege to attend the house of the Lord without fear of outer disturbance. 66 books in a Bible that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, where you can find the way that leads to life eternal and instruction in truth, righteousness, and holiness. Camp meetings all across this great nation that sends forth a clarion call with no uncertain sound to remind you that there was a God that loved you and a Christ that died for you and the blessed third person of the Trinity that came and is among us these days to blow the breath of conviction upon the heart, to woo us to Calvary, to introduce us to Jesus, to bear witness to the fact that it's possible to know the inner cleansing of the precious blood of that wonderful Lord, to have the assurance within one's heart that they can make it right in this world in order to have a clear awareness of the destiny of their soul when you're through in this life, to have all those things, beloved, and to be still without Christ is a tragedy that's far beyond the comprehension of the natural man. Here we find the Apostle Paul tells us about the medium that God has made available by and through His grace, that every man, woman, boy, or girl could know the blessing of sins forgiven. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then describes the condition of the man or woman that is void of the presence of Jesus, that has an aching emptiness, a void, a vacuum within their soul, because Jesus Christ has not become a predominant factor in their heart and in their life. Beloved, he describes the condition of that man or woman, and I'm sure that there's some like this in this congregation tonight, aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope whatsoever in this present world. But you say, Mr. Loman, what does it mean from the scriptures to be void of His presence, to be without Christ? You study the first epistle of John, the 5th chapter, and verse 12. It says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. For you to be without Jesus Christ tonight as a positive reality within your soul, dear man, kind lady, young adult, teenager, and I hope you'll sit up and listen to what the preacher says to you tonight. To be without Christ means that you don't know what it is to live. You say, Mr. Loman, you don't mean to tell an intelligent congregation that just because I haven't brought myself to the place of surrender and given Jesus a place in my heart that I don't know what it is to live. Yes, beloved, that's exactly what I imply tonight without any apology, because this book plainly states that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Beloved, you may have physical existence, access to the five senses with which you were born, access to all the physical faculties of your body. You may be so strong physically that you can work, make a livelihood for your family, and provide well for them, and still have an empty, aching heart, void of the presence of the Lord, afraid of sobering certainties, afraid, beloved, of tomorrow and its possibilities, afraid of eternity. And what this book says is the ultimate end of a man or woman that's without Jesus Christ. You study the word tonight, and you will find, beloved, in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verse 35, the wise man Solomon says, "For whoso findeth me, findeth life." And, beloved, in 1 Samuel 25, 29, we're bound up in him, in the bundle of life. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life whatsoever that gives any ray of hope whatsoever to your heart and life. I did most of my own evangelistic preaching during the war years, and revival had begun. Young lady came up to me at the very first night that attended our church. She said, "Brother Loman, I'm coming to the meeting. Holy Spirit had put this word below." She said, "I'm coming to the meeting until you preach on death, hell, the judgment, the second coming. And when you preach on either one of those subjects, I won't be back anymore." I said, "Dorothy, why?" She said, "Simply because there's an aching, gnawing awareness that when those truths are preached that I'm not measuring up, my nerves get on edge. I can't rest. My appetite fails me." I said, "Do you want me to really tell you why those truths bother you? Why they disturb you?" And I don't have to go to North Carolina to find that those truths disturb a lot of people. There are many of you in this congregation tonight that doesn't appreciate any preacher that'll remind you of the sobering certainties that are just as positive as life itself, death, hell, the judgment, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I said, "Dorothy, the reason that those truths bother you is simply because you're void of his presence in your heart and life. You don't know him in his fullness. There's something wrong somewhere. There's an emptiness within your heart." My friend, let me repeat it, not for vain repetition, but for emphasis, that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I served on one of the committees of the first crusade that Billy Graham held in the state of North Carolina. My wife and I sat in the First Baptist Church one morning, and I heard Mr. Graham say that he was in Birmingham, Alabama, in a meeting, and he was summoned to a hospital room. He said, "I went to that room and found a man that had lived more than his 80 years. And I said, 'Sir, you sent for me?' He said, 'I did, Mr. Graham, but it could be too late for me to send for a preacher.' He said, 'Mr. Graham, I have been a successful businessman. They tell me that I'm worth between $3 and $4 million. And he said, "My doctors have told me that I have less than 6 weeks to live. And," he said, "I'm not ready to die. I've never had any time for the church, never had any time for religion, never known anything about Jesus Christ." And he said, "I've come down to the place now where they tell me I've got to make preparation for another world." And he said, "I'm void of his presence." He said, "Pray for me." He said, "Mr. Graham, if my doctors could guarantee me 8 weeks to live," he said, "I'd have them draw a check today for $1 million.
give it to you to distribute to any charitable or causes that you seemed needed that kind of money. He said, Mr. Graham, in fact, if my doctors could guarantee me 90 days, you think about it, almost enough to make your blood run cold, 90 days to live, I'd sign away my right for every tangible resource and tangible asset that I have on this earth. Billy Graham said, I stood there and my blood almost did turn cold. A man that had the ingenuity, the expertise, the ability to amass a fortune of between $3 and $4 million, but he didn't have the ability, at least he did not, beloved, take advantage of the opportunity to come to know Jesus and come down to the last ebb tide of life, beloved, with a void in his heart, an alien, a stranger to the covenants of promise, and no hope. Mr. Graham said, I prayed, but my prayers hit the ceiling and fell back in my face. He said, it was so cold, it was so hard. Why? Because here's a man, beloved, that had no time for Jesus. Beloved, I say this with all the love that could be in a preacher's heart tonight. We've got church members all over this country tonight that are living in a fool's folly. They think because they're who they are and because of their successes in life and because they've identified themselves with some ecclesiastical body, dragged it to say some of them have been put in responsible positions in our churches and know nothing whatsoever about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't know what it is to live. What a tragedy. Every time I read that verse that says, to whom much is given, much is going to be required, it scares me. It would have been better than some of you people sitting right here tonight had never been born than to have heard as much gospel as you've heard and been brought up in the environment, beloved, of holiness circles and know what the plan of redeeming grace is and what is required of a man or woman if they're going to go to heaven, and yet you push it aside lightly and say the preacher's beside himself. He's a little old-fashioned. He's a little out of date. He hasn't come up to par. And he just kind of have lost sight, beloved, of a changing world. I would remind you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and every time I hear somebody use that as an excuse for trying to justify compromise and letting bars down and lowering the standards, it nauseates me, because this book says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this Bible is the book of God. The blood's never lost its power. And the Holy Ghost is still in our midst. He hasn't changed. My friend, tonight, hear me. Without Christ, alien, alienated. You study the word, beloved, and you'll find the book says that the way of righteousness is life. You can't know life and have life without the life giver. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to live, you've got to know the life giver. I wish we could see that in that tonight, and I wish the Holy Spirit would burn it in. Been my privilege to preach in the Great Hollow Rock Camp Meeting 14 different times. My night to preach some years ago, a Sunday night, the last night, they had as many people outside the tabernacle as they had in. They couldn't take care of them. And I hadn't been preaching 20 minutes when the Holy Spirit checked me. And I stopped immediately. And I said, God has spoken to somebody right now that needs to respond. The organist began to play. And from every aisle in that great tabernacle, from outside in the darkness of the night, from cottage porches, from lawn chairs, people came down those aisles and in those doors until we had to extend the altar out to the outer edges of the tabernacle. Normally with that kind of response, it would have been easy for me to close, but I couldn't. I had the most burning urgency within my soul that somebody had not responded that needed to. And I said, we're going to stand the same. We stood, we sung two verses, and they continued to come. And I said, because of time, we're going to have to close. We're going to sing one more verse. And this verse is for somebody here that hasn't responded. As they began to sing that verse, from the very last pew in that big tabernacle stepped a tall, stately man. He walked down that aisle. Hair was as white as snow. He got about halfway and his wife stepped out and followed him. They had to pick up two chairs and set them out there for them to kneel by. When that old man reached the front of that tabernacle, that load lifted off my soul just like a bird taking its flight. And I called the people in to pray, and I made my way over where that old man and his wife had knelt. Beloved, he was sobbing. It didn't take him long Beloved, just in a little while, he looked up to me and stood up. He said, "Preacher, that last verse was for me." He said, "I appreciate you singing that last verse." He said, "I'm 81 years old. This is the first time I've ever knelt anywhere to pray. Think about it. 81 years old, the first time I've ever knelt to pray. But God has forgiven me." And I rejoiced with him. His wife prayed through. The next morning, wife and I went up to the dining hall for breakfast before we started back to North Carolina. And he and his wife were out there waiting for us. He came over and took me in his arms, and he said, "Brother Loman, I just want to tell you one more time how much I appreciate that last verse last night. That one was for me." And he said, "Last night's the first time in 81 years that I've taken Jesus home with me. And it's the first time I ever went to bed not afraid to die."
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.